and five will be aged in used wine barrels, and it'll be a little bit more of a wood experience.
You already have plants. Sounds like you have some ideas for that.
Yeah.
Like what? Do you have any thing you can share about
not
like
yet.
The
no.
base beer type? Just
I'd like it to be in the kind of the sour brown realm, but okay. We'll see.
If you need any buddy to taste test it as it's like coming along, I could find somebody.
Some people?
I could find someone. I guess we've already kind of talked about this, but as a goal for the brewery, as sort of, you know, what the brewery, what you, Omar, and whoever else is behind sort of the organization part of it, are you more interested on growing the brewery over a period of time, or just more interested on the quality and the, you know, the variety of the... I mean, obviously, you don't want growth without the quality. But, I mean,
right.
would you guys be happy to get to 10,000 barrels and just sort of stay there for...
I think, definitely.
Or do you see the brewery, you know, continuing to want to expand over, you know, like another question is, like, in the next 5 years...
Right, where do we see ourselves?
Kind of,
you know, me and Omar talk about that ad nauseum weekly, because there's a lot of things we need to decide now that... That if we don't get moving on it now, we're going to be waiting around on it.
Oh,
so
this is a rock beer and a steam type beer.
But I think, you know, right now I think we're pretty content with growing a little bit more, you know, and staying small, staying dynamic, you know, still having a life outside the brewery.
Okay. You
there's
think
a
bigger
lot of,
would mean more time too?
It can. It's a bigger nut, you know. It's like all of a sudden, you know, if the further we get away from here, the more we're gonna need to represent the brewery, you know, away from here.
Okay,
so
sure.
And that doesn't mean that might not change as we grow. Right now it seems like such a huge jump that we just need to kind of focus on these intermediate steps and try to execute those instead of looking too far down the road when there's stuff right in front of us that's going to trip us, you know. So I think, you know, we're still going to be able to more than double our annual production here in this facility and be pretty happy with it and make some great beer and still challenge ourselves and the staff and, you know. So
we don't have a specific... You're not really just trying to be, just grow.
As far as I know, no.
Right now, as far as you're concerned.
At this point, I don't think that's on the agenda. That doesn't mean it couldn't be. But I think me and Omar both realize that craft beer only travels so well. You know, I'll be in Florida here in a couple weeks, and be curious to try some of the beer and check some dates and, you know, see what's going on with some of the bigger American, newer American breweries that are sending beer all over now.
Like
that,
who would get down there that you'd be talking to, like Vogue or...
There's a bunch of them.
Well, not that you're skeptical. I mean, I won't even print any
Dales
of this.
Would be one.
Do they get down there?
Yes.
Stone
does,
gets down there,
Stone
I suppose.
Does.
But Stone seems to be... I don't know if I bought their stuff out east, but I mean, their stuff seems to travel pretty well.
Yeah, they make great beer. The problem is, how in control of it are you when it's that far away? Like, sitting on a shelf, it's warm. We don't filter. We don't want to ever filter. We think that our beer is better unfiltered.
I don't have much of any
sediment. You got to put a lot of trust into distributors' hands at that point.
Yeah,
you're talking about
it's
warehouses.
A different distributor in every fucking state.
Or you need somebody, or two, or a couple different
up,
ones.
You know.
And you need more people to, you know, I don't know. So, that just seems like not a worthy, it doesn't, I don't know.
What if you could sell, like, Glarus, almost 100,000 barrels in your fucking home state?
That would be awesome, but it'll never happen here.
That's probably,
that awesome.
And the funny thing about that is it isn't like Wisconsin doesn't make any other beer.
Right.
You know, maybe not any other big craft, not as many craft breweries necessarily.
Right.
They also have spotted cow.
Can I cut in for 1 second?
Yeah, go ahead. You want to try some of this? You know you want to.
I do.
You made it. Are you...
Is this it here?
Yes.
Ben, did you try the rally, bro? This is from the AHA rally.
I did.
You did?
I did.
Oh.
I think it's...
What yeast did you use again?
What did you say?
What yeast?
Oh, 1056. Why is 1056? I wanted wow. to honor, you know, the Todd Howell's
awesome.
Craft.
1056, that's the
American ale. American ale.
Yes. Very good.
Wow. The brown malt comes through awesome.
And I wanted to just... I wanted the yeast to stand back. You know, I wanted to attenuate reasonably well. And I did a good starter for it. And, I mean, it almost...
Woo!
It got down there. You know, like 1020 or 1022 might have been.
It's really good. I'm surprised.
I think it'll be better, though, this beer, in a month or two.
It tastes like...
I think it's
kind
of warming. Like, too warming for me still.
I think it's a nice Imperial Brown Ale.
It is a nice Imperial Brown
it's
Ale.
It's almost like a double mild. It is. It's got the...
Because the brown character
that
comes
brown
through,
malt
yeah.
is so nice.
Yeah. What was that percentage? It was
pretty high. I did some research. We used some brown malt in the mild this year. And I did some more research on brown malt. And I was like, oh, I guess we kind of overused it in that rally. But
oh, okay.
Recommended usage rate.
The malt bill,
I think, that out the window.
The malt bill for me is fine. It's just that, well, and this is my personal preference. I like beers to be a little bit mellower sometimes, unless I want the hoppy aggressiveness
right.
like BAM, you know. But like this kind of beer, 8.4% or whatever
that's
I got
it
to.
Is. Yeah, it's
yeah.
a little hot.
It could be a year. It could sit around for a year, and
it'd
be
probably
fine.
Good with some oak aging too.
Yeah, the
brown malt character would be nice. Yum! Oh, it's nice.
Yeah, drink
it's biscuity.
Much of it as you want.
It's like a cracker.
It smells good. Yeah, it's good.
I'm going to have one more time.
All right, I'm just about getting down here, I think.
What else are you talking about here?
Some of the stuff we've already touched on. If you're going to think of a new beer that you've never made, either for like the not necessarily the anniversary one.
I have to interject for a second. There's a Christian brewing magazine.
I'm unaware of this, but interested.
The Brew Mag.
I'm going to write this down.
Sorry, my wife just sent me that.
That comes from my background, which it's a whole other story.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Many
later.
More glasses of beer, and that's unbelievable. I'm going to have to check that out. But do you guys don't do do any sort of smaller test batches? Or do you just use ProMash, come up with grain bills, hop bills, you know, stuff that you think is going to work, and you've obviously got a lot of experience, and then you just, you know, be like, well, all right, let's do it, let's order up the stuff and
yeah,
do it.
You know, with, I've kind of done a little of both. I don't know if you remember, before we brewed Smoke, I did a Belgian, it was not unlike your Rausch beer there, but we made it with a Belgian yeast strain and hopped across. It was like a smoked Belgian IPA. We brought that to Madison.
Oh.
It was called the Dahmer.
I heard of it, but I don't think I tried it.
So yeah, that was the pilot brew of that. And that was the first time I really messed around with smoked malt. And that came to be, you know, the basis for Smoke, even though Smoke has no resemblance at all to that beer.
Yeah.
We did some small stuff. We did a double Furious, a double Bender, and we did true
double Furious.
We did double Gravity. It was a mess.
How
but
could
people
you even
loved
do that?
It.
Isn't it like a 1060 something beer?
We took first word out of the
1070.
Took first word out of the kettle and boiled it and reduced it down to double. So it started at like 30, a little over 30 Play-Doh. Yeah, it was just like green.
Double Furious. This is not 16 grit.
No, this was just a pilot batch we did. So you're asking about those.
Okay.
And then we brought that to Madison, and I consider the sour
beers. Everybody
got
drunk.
Yeah, it was awesome. The sour, I considered a partial pilot. We pulled wort from a brew to sour. So that's, you know, a little different, but... So me and Omar have talked in the last year.
Did you do a full, like, 30-barrel... Batch or just a small batch?
Well, of everything else, like of hell, we didn't do a pilot batch. We brewed it once, draft only that first year. And, you know, just research the style, research, you know, just some of the multipliers that we use are always a good reference for, you know, what do breweries in Germany use, and there's a ton of knowledge out there for that kind of stuff. So we'd like to get, a Sabco Brewmagic system in here so that, you know, Sarah, who doesn't have any brewing experience, would actually get to maybe do some of that and learn about the flavors. And Jim and Patty, our delivery guys, you know, they're on the road all day. They're not here when we're brewing, so they don't learn about what's going on in the brew house. And so that'd be a great tool for them. You know, pick a Saturday and we all come in and drink some beers and somebody does a recipe, and it doesn't matter if it's good or bad, and it'd be a great way to learn. And I think that'll probably happen this year. And Omar's pretty serious about getting a comment. We just put it on wheels, we just wheel it, we hook it up to the water station and go. We wouldn't need hot liquor, we'd use all the supply water from the brewery and just use the small kettles and, you know, get a little nice little mill so we can do small amounts. And I think that'd be a blast. So
that would be.
Yeah, Spencer needs to practice. Spencer and Beaner need to practice. What? What's that?
Rolling
pin
and Ziploc bags.
I prefer big industrial can of beans.
Roll it. There you go.
And then you could do batches, and I suppose you inevitably there'd be a batch that'd be like, you know what, we should scale this up.
Yeah.
And see what happens.
So not only would it be fun, we could do it. We could put it on for tours. We could bring it to special events. You know, Sarah does a big thing at her cabin every summer, the 4th of July with her family and extended family. I mean, she could make something for that, and she could tell people that she made it, you know?
Yeah.
And it's basically what you guys and everybody else are doing at home, but, you know, she's never been a home brewer. She doesn't want to be a home brewer, but she works at a brewery, so it'd be great for her to learn more about where the raw materials bring flavors into the beer, so.
Do you feel like there's any types of beer that Surly could not make and release for some sorts of reasons? I mean, my impression is that you guys feel like you could pretty much do whatever you wanted to. You know, I'm not talking about doing a sour one necessarily,
right.
But I'm saying, like, you, if you want to make a mild, you're going to make a mild. I mean, you guys could make, you know, you could just make a dry stout if you wanted to. Right. I mean, that's my impression. Do you guys that way?
Do you mean because of the public perception or because it's too challenging?
No, I don't mean because it's too challenging. I mean because of the image.
I don't know.
Reputation,
I think that's,
and the image of the brewery.
That's kind of back to what we were talking about earlier. There seems to be a lot of people think they know us because of our quote-unquote image.
Mm-hmm.
But we've done everything we can to throw that out the window as fast as possible. And I talked to some guys from Madison the other night for their podcast, Brew Talk, Beer Talk or something.
I've heard of Madison. Buddy,
right?
Yeah, Matt Lang.
Yeah,
show.
Matt Lang show. You know him?
I'm not sure.
I don't think you've met him before.
He works at Ale Asylum. Anyways.
Oh, Ale Asylum. I mean, I've been there.
So anyways,
we
were just talking about that a little bit. And in fact, I think me and Omar have done, I mean, we might have gotten too aggressive now where we're like, we don't forget everything you've ever thought about us and just taste it. Don't think of it as Surly. Think of it as a beer that's all it is, you know? And I don't, as harsh as it sounds, I don't care if people like it or not. I mean, I know it's good. I know, you know, it's, I've been in the industry for 20 years and not to sound arrogant, but I know when it's good or when it's bad.
Sure.
But people are so like, oh, it's different than last year's. Yeah, it is. I mean, get over it or don't drink it. I mean, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I think we've kind of, part of being the Surly brand is that, we don't fucking care. We're going to make these beers. We think they're great. And they can always be better, and we've been doing that. We don't think they're the best beers we're ever going to make. But it is what it is. That's the Surly part, is it is what it is. It was made at a moment in time. It's consumed at another moment in time, and it's gone. Just like the anniversary beers. We get to make crazy beers, and those beers have divided people more than any of our other beers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we had a guy at Extreme Beer Festival in Boston with his notepad. He's a ticker walking around, and had to come up and tell me that it was the worst beer he'd had there all night.
Three?
Two.
Two?
And I'm just like,
really?
It was just kind of like, I mean, what's your point? Dude, how does that help you or anybody else? I don't fucking care. I really don't care that you don't like that beer. Because I know I like it and a bunch of other people that do like it. I don't have to go around telling people that, hey, I like this beer.
Yeah.
Just, it's personal, you know? And that's what's goofy with that whole perception of what people think our beer should be, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, we strive to make our beers different than anybody else's. And if that means it pisses some people off, great, you know? So.
Well, now, on that same note, though, if you were out here doing that, and if the vast majority of the beer drinkers in the area were saying, wow, congratulations for you guys for making this kind of stuff, but we don't want to drink it, and we don't want to buy it, then you would be in trouble.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, but are we at a point in 2009, 2010, where if it's a well-made beer, there's going to be enough beer drinkers, and especially a market like this,
right,
that they're gonna want to drink it. I mean, do you feel that way?
I think so. I think Dogfish Head has been doing that for years. They make a lot of really interesting beers, none of them which that I want to drink, but they sell 100,000 barrels of beer a year.
Are they that big?
Yeah. Last year they did 97,000 barrels.
Have guessed. All on that 10, 15 gallon system that you always
see. They started on, yeah. But it's not to pick on them, but somebody's drinking their beer, and I've had a lot of their beers, and a lot of it's really good, and a lot of it's unique, and I don't ever want to drink it again.
Okay.
I see some of our beers in
and
that.
And they would probably even appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'll tell Sam that. You
don't
have a problem. He'd be like, yeah.
You know, you drink it like, wow, that's, yeah.
Yeah, it is what it is. I mean, that's. Some people like it, some people don't. That's okay. But what I think was happening more and more is, like, Hell's a perfect example, and Mild. It's like, oh, it's not what I expect from Surly. Well, Surly's not, it's about making the best beer we can. It's not just about, you know.
But on the other side, if you had people come up to you and say, wow, I really enjoyed Hell, and I've not been able to like some of your other beers. Have you had that kind of
reaction?
Oh, yeah,
definitely.
Yes. They like the grand.
Oh, yeah, a lot of my family members are like, yeah, you know, they don't drink Furious or Bender. I mean, it's too big for them. They're like my mom, and, you know, it's like,
yeah.
Oh, but they'll drink Hell, and so.
Now, lagers are more costly and take more time and all this,
right.
But would you ever consider making something like that year-round?
Yeah, we'd love to if we had space.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, this year we're gearing up to do a lot more of it, and
it was good.
Try to keep it around.
Really did. I make one Hellas every winter.
Cool.
For sure. It's just something I love to make.
Yeah, and last year everything went really, really well. The yeast, everything. So I don't know if we'll be able to recreate the yeast luck or whatever you want to call it. Yeast
you
handling,
can do it.
Yeast management went really well for us last year.
Yeah.
You
make a big starter for something like that, if it's not the yeast that you're
using?
We
get a 30-barrel prop, 30-barrel pitchable amount from White Labs.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, otherwise it's too hard to keep
the
temp.
Is that like 5 gallons? Or
it's no, it's
or a gallon?
Five 300-mil containers or something like that.
Yeah, they're a couple of
They're like a growler size. They're like 5 half-gallons. And,
really?
And only part of that is yeast slurry, the rest
okay.
is wort.
And you can just pitch that, and that'll ferment a certain amount of
yep, exactly.
beer at a certain gravity, and
yep.
it's the so many millions of cells.
Yeah, exactly. So
okay.
they,
interesting.
And what's nice for us for that is since we don't have a small yeast propagator, I would never, especially with the lager yeast, I wouldn't do a half amount because you don't have cooling or temperature control. In tanks, you have it at certain areas, and I would just—it's too risky. If that got hot, you know, you'd have a mess. So the goal is to make 30 barrels of it. Yes, the flavor character is going to be different than the subsequent ones, but then blending it with 3 or 4 or more subsequent batches and blend that yeast character down. Because after the first fermentation, the character is pretty good. And, you know, ferments great at 50 degrees and chugs right through like in 8 days, 10 days. So,
okay.
I'm not a big fan of lager fermentations over 10, 12 days. And,
oh, you're not?
I'm not. Not in a production setting.
Okay.
But, you know, it doesn't mean that a lot of brewers make incredible beer that way. It's a little scary. You don't have yeast to harvest. You know, you've got yeast that's already laying in the cone that's dying before it's done fermenting. So I would rather overpitch, like you said, and oxygenate at the correct amount for the yeast strain you're using and the gravity, and try to have some harvestable yeast on day 14, then push it into that three-week window. That scares me a little.
So as much as you made last year, I mean, is that, it's more than one 30-barrel batch?
Yeah, last
year
we made
a few batches.
Last year we made 120 barrels.
Okay. Is that four brews for you?
Four kettlefuls, yeah.
Four kettlefuls, okay. How big are the fermentation tanks?
30s, and then we've got four 30s and 10, well, it'll be 14 60-barrel fermenters. Three 120-barrel brights. We use our brights for clarifying tanks. Three 60-barrel brights and three 30-barrel brights. So right now we've got a bunch of those brights full. And that's kind of what we use. You know, if we need to open a fermenter, and this beer has been in the fermenter for 4 weeks, and even if it's still aging, we can at least get it off the yeast so we don't have volatilization problems, let it sit, let it store, and we open up a fermenter. And so that's why we're kind of heavy on the bright beer side. But in the summer, we really need it to move Cynic, Bender, and right now we've got 120 barrels of Furious. We just finished packaging Bender, but we've got 60 barrels of Four, 60 barrels of Cynic, 30 barrels of Mild, all in the brights. So they'll all be packaged
four,
in the next.
60 barrels of Cynic, you said?
Yeah.
Cynic is not year-round?
It is year-round.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
This is the second winter we've done it year-round, and it's completely taken off. So last winter
people
it was like...
People love the white type seasonal saison-y wheat spicy beers in the winter, don't they?
I guess. I don't
drink them, but it's just really good. People like them. Yeah, I suppose.
So it's I think it was just an awareness issue last year. This year people are aware. We've picked up a bunch of draft accounts in town in Chicago. So it's...
Chicago loves the wheat beers.
Something we're going to need to be brewing.
You guys haven't just done like a...
We're
in
a wheat-free
American
brewery.
Wheat.
We're a wheat-free brewery.
Okay.
Is that
wheat. Sort of intentional?
Sure. It's like we don't use Cascades.
Okay.
Everybody uses them. Everybody puts wheat in everything. There's a little wheat in there.
Do you like wheat beers, though, to drink them?
Sure.
Just don't like them.
I do. Yeah. I like a great Hefeweizen. I think someone's Hefeweizen is nice.
You made one of the best... Do you remember what I'm going to say?
No.
You made one of the best Hefeweizens that I've had. Hefeweizen.
Oh, yeah.
I had that thing. It was
it
1 year.
There's a cow on there?
1 year for whatever reason. Because later years, I didn't like it as much as this 1 year. 1 year, it was just the best banana flavor.
Yeah.
It was a nightmare
to brew. God damn.
With the wheat?
Well, yeah, it's like 55% wheat and just a stuck mash. And
nightmare. Do you use rice hulls in a commercial
I probably
brewery?
Tried to. It didn't really help.
Yeah.
They only are so effective, I found. So...
Well, that's about my questions. The last one I had was something we kind of already talked about. In 5 years, you're not as concerned about production numbers or anything like that as much as just making really good beer. And
I think so. You know, the ultimate goal, I think, and that's any brewery, is to maximize your capacity. And that's the immediate goal. So in this building, we want to make as much beer, you know, at every nook and cranny as we can.
Okay.
And if that's 20,000 barrels or 25,000 barrels, then we just hang tight there for a while. Perfect. If it's, you know, if we decide, you know, we're going to outgrow this building and we can't really expand here because of the zoning laws, we might have to start looking for another facility and develop that while we're still brewing here. But right now, you know, Omar's got four little kids. He's got a busy wife with a career, and you know, their family life is pretty chaotic because they work different schedules. They don't really even see each other, and I don't think he wants to be that brewery owner that's, you know, in three different cities every week doing promotions and meeting with architects. And yeah, it suddenly becomes a way bigger thing than it ever was. And
seems like, yeah, I see what you're saying. I don't really have any experience, but it seems like it would almost be more of your time when you're smaller.
Yeah, you know, at this point now, I don't do much of the brewing anymore. We've got Jared and Cal, and Spencer does most of the transferring now, and So I'm more in a management role, and that's what he is too. And so it's less required for him to be here as much as we used to be, you know. I mean, it used to be that I brewed all the brewing, did all the canning. Sarah helped and did everything, you know, assistant-wise. But that quickly got proved to be too much.
You know, like 12 employees?
Now we've got 11.
11?
12, I think.
It's 11.
Yeah, 11, plus we got a great guy that helps us with all the tours. And Keith does all the volunteer stuff for that and really helps. It's like Summit, who's got a really good kind of stable of volunteers to help execute, getting tours off, and get a bunch of people through the brewery. Sweet. We have 100 people coming through here every Friday, so it takes a lot of people. And honestly, it's the last thing any of us want to do is spend 4 more hours at the brewery.
And you have volunteers that come and pour beer and stuff like that, too.
Yep, so that's awesome. Cool. So Keith's kind of the 12th. Even though he's not an official employee, he's kind of the 12th. And then we've got Mary. She helps plan all the events we do. Surly Fest, Darkness, Mary Selke. We also just started to kind of utilize the volunteer army that we've kind of developed over the last couple of years. We're starting to do charity events where we use our volunteer staff to staff volunteer things around the city. Trying to give back a little bit. With the tours now, we're asking everybody that comes in to bring food shelf donation, non-perishable food items, so that'll be going to shelters and stuff soon. So trying to
add up too.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to utilize that a little bit more and get back to the community, and that's Mary's big thing. Mary and Omar's big thing right now is getting that rolling, which is fun.
Okay.
So
well, I appreciate all the time.
Yeah.
That's all the questions I have. Well, not all, but that's enough. More than enough.
It's an interesting beer. I like it.
Yeah.
I really like it.
Is it at all what you can... I mean, when you design the recipe,
That's not at all what ours tastes like, I don't think.
With the Belgian yeast?
Belgian yeast.
And
it's hot,
hotter,
attenuated.
Hotter fermentation,
bye,
too.
Bye again.
good luck.
It's just... that malt character... I don't know. I should try it again recently. Or soon, but... We should try it, because I'm thinking about throwing it in that 15 and dumping some Brett in there.
That's an awesome idea.
Next couple weeks, and some oak.
And which one?
We got those 15 barrel Brights.
Oh,
those
right.
Guys
the
back
ones,
in the corner.
Yeah. Roll that
kind
thing on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
One of my friends did like a gallon of this beer on coffee.
Ooh.
And he did it a little bit. He tried not to, but it's... fairly coffee flavor.
Okay.
You know, Coffee Bender is pretty good coffee flavor too, and it's kind of almost more like that. You lose some of the
right.
The base beer qualities, which I suppose is normal. But I mean, it's a good idea. It's a good kind of beer for that.
I'm shocked at how.
It'll be fun to see what people bring to the conference. I suppose
the more now that I'm back in production brewing, and I was out of it for 10 years, I kind of, you know, as a pub brewer, you just make beers that. You know, you think are good, and you just got a small amount, and you know it's going to sell, because you kind of got a captive regular audience, and so you can tweak things, but I'm amazed at how beers in this country have gotten so, and I know Belgian beers have always been highly attenuated, but, you know, part of the big flavor of Bender is that it's, you know, finishes at 4 Plato, you know, it's not thin, it's got a bunch of body, and that's what makes it such a great vehicle for oak aging, coffee, and that's, you know, another reason we decided to make that beer along with Furious is because we could do that stuff with it. And I think people are always shocked. It's like, oh, I don't know why we like your beer so much, and it's a lot of it is calories and body.
Yeah,
and
I was
going to
say, from the
funny.
Homebrewer's perspective, you just learn that you maybe you did something wrong.
Yeah.
That you didn't get down to 10, or not
right.
to 10, but 10, 12, you know, 10, whatever, thereabouts for that kind of a beer.
We certainly rely more on our malt than we do on any mashing regimen. You know, just use higher color malts and...
you do for the fermentability?
For more dextrins and just more...
Oh, I see.
And then we use the dry English ale from White Labs. It's more attenuative than the regular English ale.
Okay.
But it's still, it won't ferment anything over 9.5%. We've never been able to get darkness to finish over 10, so.
Okay. So do you mash?
We mash
in the medium range,
then? We mashed 153 to 157, pretty hot.
Pretty warm, okay.
And we just do single infusion, so.
So that and all your non-fermentable malts in there. And you,
yep.
But your beer's done. I mean, they don't. I don't think any of your beers are, except for maybe the 08 darkness that people thought maybe it could have been a little
right.
bit less sweet.
Oh, yeah.
But aside from that, you know, there's not, it's not like a characteristic.
Right.
And that's, you know, opinion too. I just had an 08 darkness actually recently, and I decided it was, I didn't do anything much on New Year's Eve. I decided I was going to have an 08 darkness.
Nice.
And I will admit that by the end, it was over, you know, hours, like it was my sipping thing I would
right.
come back to. Over the end, I was like, got to be a lot of darkness.
Well, we shared a bottle on Halloween, and I 08 had never tasted so good.
Actually, it was much better than I remembered it, but then it just,
yeah,
one glass would have
exactly.
been better.
When I had one in April outside of a campfire, and I had a hard time choking it down, to be honest, it was like,
okay.
But on Halloween, I was like, whoa, this tastes awesome right now.
Yeah.
So it could have been the fact that it was outside, it was cold. And,
yeah.
But I should open, maybe on Sunday during the Vikings game, I'll open a bottle of 09 and see how that's doing. Because I haven't had a bottle yet.
I haven't had a bottle yet either.
No, I had a bottle right after Darkness
okay.
Day with somebody else, but not one that I bought.
Gotcha.
But that's how I am. I'm weird like that. People, like, how can you have 4 different years of, you know, Bigfoot barley wine down and like, I don't know, it's barley wine.
Yeah.
I just sock it away and, you know.
That's where it all went.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The big
fucking guy.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Hold on.
Appreciate it. I wonder if I can get a picture somewhere.
Yeah,
would you
let me go grab my other glasses.
I might hit the bathroom.
Cool.
Stop this.